Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
So when it comes to your business address, I am against going to Regis and Opus.
Wow.
Everybody tell you to go to Regis and Opus. Why? And I'm gonna look in the camera. Somebody watching this, you have probably got a Regis or Opus address and tried to go to Chase, tried to go to Truist, tried to go to PNC, and they told you that you couldn't use that address, that you had to use your home address. Why? Because those big virtual addresses are now being flagged. Banks want to be able to find you. If I'm lending you money, I want to find you. I don't want to know where your cousins stay at. I want to know where you stay at, where you lay your head, right? Mm-hmm. So a way to get around that is...
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's going to teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's going to be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be providing you 2 coaching calls a week where we're going to teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, investor, mentor, personal credit educator, and business credit expert extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Waiters Capital, a company that has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs all across the country acquire well over $23 million in funding and boost their credit score. Whether he's hosting weekly masterclasses teaching aspiring business owners on how to start a 6-figure funding company with only 1 to 2 clients per month, or providing free value information around all things funding on platforms just like this, our guest's mission remains the same: to empower all entrepreneurs alike with the tools, information, and resources needed to make business credit mastery easier than it's ever been. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Miami, Florida, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Stedman Waiters. What's going on, family? How are you?
Yes, sir, man. Glad to be here, bro. This is just like deja vu, man. Just want to say and give you your flowers, bro. Just everything you're doing is special right now.
Appreciate it,
man. I appreciate you just having me on, brother.
Man, listen, I pride myself in bringing on the best of the best. I've seen a lot of what you've been doing in the credit and funding space. And I said, look, I've had some pretty good guests on. I've had some great guests on, but I ain't had set on. So we had to go ahead and change that. And here we are. So I extend the same grace to you, man. I love what you're doing. I love what you are about, the impact that you're having in the space. And I'm looking forward to this being a very fruitful conversation.
100%. Me too, man.
Most definitely. So I know I did an okay job introducing you, right? But obviously nobody knows Stead Waiters better than the man, the myth, the legend himself. So for those who aren't familiar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Mr. Stedman Waiters?
Most definitely, man. So I'm somebody that came from little to nothing and tried my hardest to maximize my opportunity, man. Born and raised in Miami, Florida, moved to Atlanta, and now I'm in Las Vegas. Just to tell you guys a little bit about my story, just like a lot of you, I didn't know anything about credit, anything about business, didn't care. Football was my life. Mm. Like, you know, Facebook pictures where you spat it up, got the visor, that's me. You know, all I cared about was football. And like I said, until I got into the real world, when I didn't make it in football and I discovered business, took over, man.
Mm, so. I love that. So let's dive a little bit more into the football side, right? Because I said a lot in my intro and the acumen you built for yourself and credit, but that's not where you started, right? There was a journey that you had to go through to get there. So let's go back to 2021. From what I understand, at the time, you're just coming out of Georgia Southern, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. You have aspirations to make it to the NFL on one side.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you just finished getting your bachelor's in electrical engineering,
uh-huh.
right? You're fresh out of school. What exactly did that time in your life look like from top to bottom?
Man, it was hard. Well, let's go back before okay. that, a little bit more before that, right?
Yeah.
The reason why I even chose electrical engineering, I didn't just say I'm going to go to school and be an engineer, was actually from somebody from my school. I'm doing a recruiting visit. He had just got done playing football, 5 years graduating. He was going to the military.
Mm.
During the recruiting visit, he said, man, look, if you come here, choose something that's going to make you money. Choose something where you can be successful in the sport or out of the sport, in corporate America, right?
Mm.
He told me a story. Hey, look, I've been here for 5 years, had the time of my life, but because I chose to choose a smaller degree, I just got to go to the military because it doesn't make sense to come out and work at Walmart or whatever it was. He was struggling to find a job. So I decided to do engineering. I told myself, look, I'm going to maximize this opportunity, and I'm going to be successful either when it comes to sports or in corporate America. So went through that, the toughest thing ever. My coach at one point even gave me an ultimatum. Grades were slipping because it's hard to be an engineer,
yeah.
study engineering and play Division I football where you're at school year round.
Yeah.
He gave me an ultimatum one semester. Was like, hey, look, Stay, are you going to play football or are you going to be an engineer?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of hurt me to the core because that was the first time I felt like I faced adversity where I had to decide between two things that I wanted to do, and football, you know, I loved it. It was the only thing I knew. So coming from that, being able to tell him, you know what, I'm going to do both mm-hmm. and show him, get my grades back up, brought me to where I was at a position to now we talk about where I graduated with an electrical engineering degree and then with football.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
So now let's talk about your introduction to the credit space, because in doing some digging, I think I found that your first mentor and my first mentor are the same, Mr. Marcus Barney in 500. Sir. How did you stumble across Marcus, and how was that your entry point into the credit space?
Man, I was an engineer at the time. So to go back to football, play football, didn't make it, but still was chasing it. A lot of people don't know with football, it gets very political, but I was still chasing it while being an engineer. I came across one of his ads. He had the Louis V boxes.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Using credit to get this, uh-huh. get that, get this. I'm like, who is this dude?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What are we doing? And,
right.
and he was already retargeting, running ads. So every time you get on Instagram, you see him again, him again, him again. And I think I watched a podcast with him, and I was like, man, I got to lock in.
Mm-hmm.
So I locked in with him. But that was at a time where I wanted to do something different. I was in corporate America and started to realize it's not for me. You know what I'm saying? So locked in with him, and he exposed me to credit and the power of credit. Then I got with another mentor that was in the niche I wanted to go into, and that's when I really turned up from there.
What was it like? Because like you said, you went from trying to pursue a dream of being in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You had your safety net of your degree to fall back on, and you're in engineering. And for most people, I'm sure you was making beautiful money, right? You could have kind of just kicked your feet up and said, this is it from now to the day I die. You stumble across this dude with all these Louis V bags on this exotic car, and you're like, all right, let me give this a try. And ultimately, you invested in his mentorship, if I understand correctly.
100%.
I think at the time it was like $5K or $3K something?
I think I called a deal off like EYL.
Okay.
It was like, put him $500 in the checkout, and it came at $3,500 or something. I did that.
Even still, was that your first time investing in mentorship?
Yeah, that was my first time.
What was your mindset at that point in time? Because once again, for some people, that's almost like another crossroads where it's just like, all right, do I stay with this thing that I've invested 4 or 5 plus years of school into, or do I invest in this dude that I just found on the internet and learn about something I know nothing about? So like, what was going through your mind at that time?
Bro, really, I just wanted answers. Like, I'm at a time in my life where football wasn't working out. I was making money as an engineer.
Mm.
I wanted to do something different, but I didn't know what to do.
Mm.
So when I see this guy coming on saying, hey, you can do this with credit, you can do this with credit, you don't have to save up, because that's naturally what I was doing, just saving money to eventually get into real estate or something else like they tell us to do, right?
Mm.
But when I saw that you can get into the game way quicker just by leveraging credit, I was like, I got to see what this guy's talking about.
Mm.
So it was scary, but I didn't have too much, like, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't too scared about it just because I believed in myself, and I knew once I get in, whatever the information is, I can run it back up and, you know, go from there.
After you finish school, you're in your engineering job, you find out about mentorship for credit. You invest in that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
At what point in your journey, you navigating your credit journey, do you now say, all right, I think I'm done with engineering and I'm ready to go all in on credit? When does that happen?
Bro, that happened when I invested $25,000.
25?
Yeah, that's what, that sounds crazy.
All right, so give me the story on that. Invested $25,000 where exactly?
So going back to the story, Hit 500 introduced me into credit, into entrepreneurship, how to fix your credit, how to build your credit, how to secure funding. But like I tell my mentees and other people, you want to find a mentor that's in your niche, mm-hmm. somebody that you like, somebody that you want to be like, that can give you direct guidance to what it is that you want to. Mm-hmm. H500 is great with what he does, but sometimes you need somebody directly in the industry that you want to be in to give you direct instructions on what you need to do. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I invested with H500. I was able to secure funding for myself, but I wasn't actually actively investing into a business. I was just learning about the credit game. Mm-hmm. Came across somebody that changed my life forever. Bro, I had $5,000 in my bank account. Mm. I leveraged my funding and paid them $25,000, and that changed my life forever. Mm. That changed my life forever.
Who was at the time? Who were you close? Like, were you, I'm assuming you were? Were you close with friends and family at the time when you had made that investment?
Yeah, but I ain't tell nobody.
That's what I'm saying. Because I'm like, I'm trying to imagine that conversation with like people, whether it's with your girl or with his mom or dad. Like, how do you explain to someone logically? Like, hey, listen, I only got $5,000, but I'm about to put $25,000 of this money in it. Like, who you told nobody at the time?
Who could I speak to if they never been through that situation?
Right.
Like I said, if I'm trying to go somewhere where nobody around me has gone, how can I take advice from them? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like me asking them, this guy, I'm trying to make $1 million. How do you make $1 million? Mm-hmm. If you never made $1 million, how are you going to tell me, right?
Right?
So in my head, I was like, look, I did my research. Like, I tell everybody, bet on yourself. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to where I was like $25,000 down. It was like $300 a month because it was financed, so I knew I can still live, you know, and carry on what I needed to, right? And I just did it, man. Just believed in myself and locked in.
So you invested, if I remember correctly, you said you invested $25,000, and that's when you stopped the engineering job?
That's when I turned up from there.
Okay, gotcha.
People don't understand, when you pay, especially that amount, you zeroed in.
Yeah,
doing whatever they tell you to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's why I feel like people don't understand the payment part. Not only is it investing in yourself and buying somebody's time, but it filters out the people that are BSing, that are not serious. Mm-hmm. If I would have paid him $25, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, bro, we're not getting on this Zoom call. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. But $25,000 going to make you sit down. And whatever that person tell you to do, you're going to make sure you do it. I was licking my chops like, what we got next? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to make my money back as soon as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you have skin in the game like that, it forces you to really, like, focus on what it is that you need to and make sure you make a return on your investment.
How long? So you make the, you invested $25,000. Then what happens from there? When do you get to the point that you're at now, where you're established and you're one of the premier names in the space? Walk me through that.
100%. So I don't have a fairy tale story. I didn't come from rags to riches. I wasn't working at McDonald's. Like you said, I come from a corporate 9-to-5 job as an engineer, making pretty good, decent money. Mm-hmm. I was wise. I tell people all the time, you want to be strategic when it comes to life and business. Mm-hmm. The dumbest thing I could have done at that moment was quit my job and say, hey, I'm going to focus all in. It just don't make sense. I still got expenses, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, I actually leveraged that information, executed on that information, and still worked my 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. It was hard. I'm taking sales calls in my office with the door closed, praying my supervisor don't come in. I'm in my company truck doing what I got to do. Like, you know, I'm mapping out, hey, I'm going to go talk to this person during lunch. So it was very tough. And then after work, I'm working on the business. But I knew at that point I couldn't risk losing my only source of income mm-hmm. to put everything into one bucket. So it took me about a year and a half to strategically leave my 9-to-5. When I did that, I was already making 3 times the amount of money I was making at my 9-to-5. And I was doing that consistently to where it's like, this don't even make sense. I'm mm-hmm. actually losing money being an engineer when I can focus fully on the business.
And at that point, it was just once you got to that point where, all right, I'm making 3 times what I'm making, you know, in my 9-to-5, I'm all, and now it makes sense for me to go all in. And then everything was up from there.
100%. A lot of people don't have a proof of concept. Mm. They just offer a whim and a dream and thinking, you know what, all this information is going to change my life. And it will change your life, but it's a process to everything. And I think people look at the end goal, but they don't understand the process of getting to where you want to reach. You can't just sit here and say, I'm going to drop everything and focus fully on this. You still got life. You still got bills. if you got a family, you still got a family. You still got, you know what I'm saying? You still got to live off of, you know, stuff. So that's one thing that I prided myself on, just being strategic with everything I did and control my emotions. That's another thing I learned in business. And that helped me just in business and overall life, being able to control my emotions. Even though I didn't like my job, right? There may be people I didn't like at the job, whatever the case may be. I didn't let my emotions say, you know what, I'm leaving today because I had a bad day. Mm. I stood through it. And as an adult, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. And like I said, when it makes sense to leave, when I have a proven concept of me making money, having consistent clients, getting consistent commissions, now it's time for me to leave to scale the business up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, fast forward till now, you know, you were very strategic about how you left. The impact that you've been able to have on this space, I'm seeing testimonials of you getting people $100,000, $130,000, $150,000, 0% interest at that. Talk not only about the success you've been able to have up until this point, but also the individuals you've been able to impact through your company and beyond.
100%. So to this day, we funded over $24 million to small and medium-sized businesses, right? Mm-hmm. The impact is just phenomenal. The reason why I love this business, one, you're working directly with business owners. Business owners understand the value of money.
Yeah.
First is working with a consumer. So they already in their mind know, okay, once I get this money, I know what I'm going to put it into to be able to flip this money. Mm-hmm. So it's always an easygoing process, right? And who doesn't need money? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't need funding, right? Mm-hmm. So just being able to fund businesses, to help them to grow and scale, and now starting my own coaching program, changing other people's lives, has just been amazing, man. Just in Atlanta, what, yesterday, 2 days ago, mm-hmm. I was with two of my mentees. One is a full-time engineer as well. He just had his first 10,000 in a month, right? Working a funded business part-time is life-changing to a 9-to-5 worker, right?
1,000%.
Right? And I just had another mentee, Amir, as well. He's a full-time barber. He just had his first 30K month.
Come on, man. Like, what are we doing? And he's working part-time hours.
They're doing part-time. Crazy. Because I told them directly, like, most people, you know what I'm saying? They sell you a dream, right? Quit your job, focus fully on this. That's not me, right? I'm all about strategy. You say you want to do this, well, this is what comes with it. We want to build this thing out strategically to where it makes sense to leave. Let the business force you to say, you know what? Like, go full-time in this. You don't make that decision. Let the business show you that you need to go full-time with it by you bringing in money, you having success. And that's kind of what I teach in my mentorship as well, just showing people to do that as well.
Well, I want to dive into some of the information that you've been able to give mentees like those two gentlemen and beyond, because before we got on this episode, you said something that made my ears perk up. You said, man, listen, I want to give you one of them ones, because I've had a lot of great people in the credit space come on here. But you said you wanted to blow the audience away with the game. That's what you said. Your words, not mine.
Hey, man, I'm here to give you that sauce.
All right. Listen, I'm ready to get into the game, because the people understand you. They understand where your background is now. But now I really want to get into this information and really turn this episode into a personal and business credit masterclass. Is that all right with you?
Hey, look, that's what I'm here for.
All right. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So let's get into this funding game, right? Because, well, let's first start off on the personal side. You know, just as well as I do, there's so many different ways that you can get funding. But one of the most effective ways that we can go about doing so is making sure our personal credit is in order, mm-hmm. right? So if I'm watching this episode, I'm starting from ground zero. I know nothing about credit, but I know that I need to get my personal credit in order. What is the first step that I need to take to get my personal credit where I need it to be so I can leverage it to go and get funded?
100%. So the first step I would say, some of you may not be here, but some of you may, you're going to remove all negatives. That'll be the first thing. Understand that your credit report is like a transcript, mm-hmm. right? Lenders, underwriters, they look at that to justify if you're validated to be able to get some type of funding, if you're validated for this line of credit, whatever the case may be. So you want to make sure your transcript is on point. You want to make sure once you remove the negatives by using Metro 2, consumer law, whatever it may be, you want to establish, actually build your credit. When we get to that credit, that funding game, right, lenders look at comparable credit, right? Mm-hmm. They want to see what on your credit profile have you already had that justifies them giving you a high limit or a decent limit, right? Mm-hmm. No lender wants to be the first to bet on you. Just like in life, when you start a business, nobody want to be the first to invest in you.
Right.
No lender wants to take a chance on you. So your credit report has to justify them giving you a higher limit. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're in the credit building phase, we all know that a 700 is not built the same. Somebody with a 700 with one authorized user and a kickoff account is not the same as a 700 that has a mortgage, an auto loan, 3 credit cards with 6K limits. You know what I'm saying? It's right. More established. So if you don't meet those data points, you want to establish your credit profile by adding credit builder accounts like Kickoff Sell. To give you some more sauce, that's the regurgitated sauce. I like Tomo Boost. I like Credit Strong. You have to pay for them, but they're stronger accounts that are actually on your credit report that you can use as comparables when it comes to funding. Mm. So understand you're playing chess, not checkers. Kickoff and Self does help, mm-hmm. but understand lenders know those are just credit building accounts, mm-hmm. right? $500 limit, what you think a lender's going to give you? $750? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. What can you do with $750, right? So you want to make sure you build your credit profile out the right way. And let me ask you, because I ask everybody this.
Let's do it.
What's one product in the fundings, in the credit space, that can tell a lender you have money without them looking at your actual bank account or taxes or anything?
One credit product?
Yeah.
That can tell a lender that you have money without looking at my taxes or anything? Oof. I would say, would it be an installment line of credit? Interesting. Okay. Hold on. Let me guess again. Damn, what would it be? Is it a specific type of credit card or is it specific?
Yeah, it's a specific type of lending product. You'll get it. Once I say it, you're going to be like, oh.
Not an installment line of credit. Okay. Revolving line of credit. I mean, no. What would it be?
I mean, it can be an installment or revolving. What type of product is it?
Not a mortgage, I guess.
Nah.
Golly.
Because that's all borrowed debt.
Okay.
Right? So when you get a credit card, that's just a bank technically fronting you that $5,000. That's okay. All borrowed debt. The same thing with a mortgage. That's borrowed debt. You still have to pay somebody back.
Okay.
But what can you show to a bank, an underwriter, that says, I have money without them looking at your account?
I'm stumped, dog. What would it be?
Secured products.
Bro.
A secure credit card, a secure loan. Understand?
All right, go ahead.
So with a secure product, understand that you're putting your money up, right?
Okay.
Right? You're putting your money up. So if you get a $100,000 secure loan from Navy Fed Pledge Loan, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at it like, that's your $100,000. This person is liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So even though this person may not have a built-out credit profile, we know they're liquid because of the secure products on their credit report.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing with a secure credit card. If you put $10,000, $15,000 on a secure credit card, an underwriter can tell you directly, okay, this person is liquid because they have the capital to put up for a credit card, a secure product, a credit card or a loan.
You're actually the first person. Okay, so this is definitely going to be a fun episode. You're the first person I've heard bring that up because even myself, I'm not a proponent of secured cards because I've never viewed it that way.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I'm just looking at secured cards as if like, okay, this is a credit building account. You're much better off applying for cards that you don't have to put your money up for.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is some banks and lenders will actually look at that as a way to justify, okay, if they're putting $10,000 or $5,000 on a secured card, they have to have money. So you're actually a proponent of secured cards.
Yes. Yes. That's the only way. And I talk to underwriters directly. And the reason why I know it works is when it comes down, you have to check boxes when it comes to lending. It's all strategy at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So your credit has to be, you know, in place. You want to have a relationship. I actually made up this acronym. Don't steal it. I'll say it on here first on the Marvin Francois podcast.
Let's
right.
Do it.
CRD, credit relationships, deposits. Right.
Okay.
So that's our method. That's what I do when I go to shows and everything. I tell them that CRD, you want to have your credit in order. You want to have established credit. Then you want to have a relationship with a bank, mm-hmm. whether that be just opening a business account, personal account, having an existing relationship, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And then deposits. You want to have consistent deposits. So if you're working a 9-to-5, having your 9-to-5 check every 2 weeks deposited there. If you have a business, having your business income go to that bank account so they can start seeing that you're building a relationship. When you check off those boxes, that's when you start getting your higher limit approvals.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're missing one of those boxes, now the underwriter can sometimes say, okay, we want to pull this card. Let me see those tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a pay stub. Give me a bank statement. But if you have secure products, you can alleviate that because they can see that's your money that you're putting on those products.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
So now it's like, okay, we see that Marvin's making money. He has a $100,000 secured loan from Navy Fed. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And if we get saucy with it, I'll show you how you can go and leverage and get funding, get a personal loan, use that to get a secured loan. Be able to run a Navy Fed hack, about that, pay 90% of it back, and now you just use the bank's money to make your credit profile look sexy. A whole plan. We just getting started, right? I don't want that to go over your head, right? If you don't know about the Navy Fed loan, and you can do it with DCU, Navy Federal, the pledge loan hack, basically you can put, let's say $10,000, right?
Okay.
You can put $10,000 into a Navy Federal saving account, and you can actually leverage that collateral. You can leverage that $10,000 to get a secured loan with Navy Federal, right? Within, I would say, about 48 hours, you can pay back 98% of it. I tell my mentees 98% of it. They give you that money back.
Mm-hmm.
But in 30 days, you're going to have a secured loan that says 98% paid off in your credit report. And now you can leverage that when you go for funding as liquid. He's liquid.
Mm-hmm.
He paid off 98% of a $100,000 or $10,000 loan. He has some type of liquidity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that to go over the people's head, man.
It's not going over mine, so I'm going to make sure it's not going over theirs. Okay. All right. So we talked a lot about different strategies that we could leverage when it comes to strengthening our personal credit profile, making it good. We talked a lot about different types of credit products, secured cards and beyond. let's say someone does all the heavy lifting, they get the secured cards, they get some of the credit builders we talked about, and beyond. Are there any starter credit cards that you would personally recommend? Because also, you're one of the first people I've seen break down, not business credit cards, but personal credit cards into like tiers.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had, I forget how you structured it, but you could talk a little bit about how that works and what starter cards that you would recommend.
100%. So me personally, I know a lot of people say go with credit unions. Credit unions do give you the bag. It's always best to have a relationship with them.
Mm.
But I'm a big proponent of going with national banks, starting a relationship with them, simply because of the limits you can get later on, but also the 0% interest products as well. So when you fund yourself with credit unions, a lot of people say, yeah, they give you the bag. But credit unions, they're nonprofit, meaning that they earn their money based off the interest off of those credit cards.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a, not an Elon bag, but an actual credit union card? Have you ever heard of it being 0% outside of an Elon back credit card?
No.
Exactly, because they're usually not. But when it comes to national banks like your Chase, your Wells Fargo, PNC, Truist, those regional banks as well,
mm-hmm.
they have 0% products that we can maximize on the personal side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big proponent of actually building relationships with national banks because their credit cards are usually 0%, which helps us out a lot. Plus, they have reward programs that we can maximize, right? With Chase transferring to Hyatt Southwest, now we can redeem for free cash back, free travel, different things like that. So I would say me personally, I always tell people to start off with a Chase or I would say an Amex.
Okay.
I like Chase or Amex simply because you want to get in Chase before you hit that 524. With that Chase 524 rule, for you guys that don't know, if you get more than five new personal credit cards within a 24-month span, Chase will automatically decline you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like just getting into that ecosystem before you actually start stacking up those personal credit cards and going from Amex in there, so... Yeah.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you two coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Let's say we do all that heavy lifting of really building out a super robust personal credit report,
mm-hmm.
right? Using the information we just got. Now we want to swing over to the business side of things. So start being like, you're already smiling. I'm nervous.
That's my side.
He's smiling and I'm nervous. I don't know what this brother's about to say. let's go over to the business. So the personal credit side is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
We swing over to the business credit side. What exactly is that first step that I would need to take on the business side to start putting myself in position to get access for funding?
100% structuring your, making sure your personal credit is structured the right way, low utilization, a lot of gain that we gave before.
Mm-hmm.
On the business side, making sure that you have a good business name. So I'm going to get this out. Don't nobody talk about this online. I'm going to tell you guys, right? A lot of people tell you, make sure you keep credit, you keep financial, you keep stuff out of your name. That is 100% true. But one thing that I teach in my academy is the DBA hack. Do you know about the DBA hack?
Let me sit up. Go ahead.
It's very simple, but nobody talks about it. Most major corporations have a DBA, which is doing business as.
Yeah, yeah.
They may have a legal name as Marvin Enterprise LLC,
yeah.
which is a generic name, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't actually conduct business with that name. So you can have Marvin Enterprise LLC. That's what you get at banks. That's how you fund yourself as a low-risk industry. But you can still be doing business as Takeoff Financial.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
So a lot of people don't talk about that. So if you don't want to change your business name, or you have a business name and it's generic and you want to change it to something more customized, it can even be if you're a funding company, Barbecue Financial, you fund barbecue business, I don't know.
Right.
You can DBA and actually run your company by that name. But when it goes to opening business bank accounts, when it goes to funding yourself, you give them that legal name mm-hmm. that can help you stay out of a high-risk industry to where you can secure the bag.
That's really good. this is very, very good. Okay. So
we got some more, brother. I ain't gonna need to cut y'all. I'm in the mode though.
So you're talking about structuring the business. What else goes into, because you mentioned name, but you and I know it's address, it's phone number, it's email. What else goes into a properly structured business for fun day.
Thank you, man. You're giving me hype. So I'm going to give you guys the real. Okay. I'm going to give you guys the real. A lot of people be giving regurgitated information and outdated information, right? So when it comes to your business address, I am against going to Regis and Opus.
Wow.
Everybody tell you to go to Regis and Opus. Why? And I'm going to look in the camera. Somebody watching this, you have probably got a Regis or Opus address and tried to go to Chase, tried to go to Truist, tried to go to PNC, and they told you that you couldn't use that address, that you had to use your home address. Why? Because those big virtual addresses are now being flagged. Banks want to be able to find you. If I'm lending you money, I want to find you. I don't want to know where your cousin stay at. I want to know where you stay at, where you lay your head, right? Mm-hmm. So a way to get around that is we're telling our mentees, and this is what they're doing with their clients as well, find a local commercial address near you that's not hyped up, that's not on Regis, that's not on Opus, right? Find a local virtual address near you. One virtual address, I'm gonna give you guys some game. Alliance Virtual Spaces is more on the West Coast, but they're going to need the flag, so they're not even being flagged when you open those business accounts with them. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing to do. So stay away from Regis and Opus. Find a local commercial suite in your city, in your region that you can use. And those who usually have a high success rate because they're not known to banks, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing you can use is the USPS address lookup tool. So banks actually sync their, how do I say this? They sync their databases with USPS, right? Mm-hmm. When they do that, USPS mandates that commercial mail receiving agencies, like basically virtual addresses, they must say that they are a commercial mail receiving agency, mm-hmm. right? And they're synced together. So you can search on USPS address lookup a virtual address and see if it's flagged as a commercial mail receiving agency. Mm. From there, you'll know that, hey, that's a virtual address that I cannot use. I need to use something else. And that's where you go, like I said, to finding something local or something more low key that goes against the radar to be able to open up your business account when it comes to, you know, that funding time.
We got name, address, and each piece I'm learning something new. So this is good. We got name, we got address. Is what about, because there's a lot of talk around like phone number and email address and things. Do those things matter as much when we're structuring our business for funding?
All right. So I'll probably be the first to say this. None of that matters.
Hey. I got to call my operations person. Take down all the marketing material. It's over. Now, go ahead.
So I say none of it matters. It's best practice what they're teaching you. Mm-hmm. And that is true, right? But it's not going to be the deciding factor if you're denied or approved when it comes to low level 0% interest, you know, stated income products when it comes to funding. Mm-hmm. We funded clients with home addresses, their cell phone, a Gmail, and still getting them $75,000 to $100K. And I'm here to tell you, and I can show you proof, like literally, right? So when people say that stuff is best practice, that is the best way to structure your business, but it's not 100% needed to get the bag, if that makes sense, right? But as you continue to grow your business, you do want to have those things in place. You do want to have a business email. You do want to have a business phone number. You do want to have all of these things lined up because it helps when it comes to bigger type of banking products, such as like a business line of credit, a business term loan. That might help. Mm-hmm. But on the business credit cards and no doc strategies, that it don't matter, bro.
I got to make some phone calls after this episode, ladies and gentlemen.
I got all the proof, man. I don't mind showing it to anybody that's really in the funding space. Mm. Shout out to them. They know who they are. You don't need that stuff. And then one thing people don't talk about in the funding industry, especially if you're doing it as a service, speed is king. Speed is king. People get bored quick. So if you take in 2 months to fund somebody, they already like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you don't even have time to structure them properly just to begin funding because they're going to the next person. Mm-hmm. They saw somebody else ad. They saw Marvin ad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, yeah. Like I said, let's keep it going, man. I'm loving it.
Okay. Name, address, email. So we got all that. So with the information you provide, our business is now properly structured. Would you agree? Or is there still certain parts that were... Well, actually, no. I'll ask you about this. Because this is good. We're talking about, we're basically breaking business credit myths here, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about NAICS codes, because that's another big one, another big topic in the space where people will usually talk about making sure that you have the right NAICS code in place before or when you're in the process of going for funding. Mm-hmm. How important is that when it comes to us getting access to capital?
That is very important.
Break that down.
100% is very important. So the reason when people walk into banks, let's say you're getting funding on yourself, sometimes it's scary if you never actually applied for a business credit card or went through the process, right? The reason why bankers are asking you this question, so what do you do? What is your business about? Different things like that. They're typing in the computer, which is an NAICS code that categorizes your business. Right then and there, depending on that NAICS code, that's a risk factor that they basically say, hey, we can only lend this much to this person based on their industry. If you're saying, hey, I'm in trucking, they may can lend to you as a trucking company, but because of your industry and how high risk it is, they're going to limit how much funding they'll give you without documentation. But if you say you're in the trucking industry and you can pull up tax returns, you're making $1 million plus a year annually, you're bringing in 60, 70, 80, 100K a month, you got three trucks, you can still get funding. But when it comes to no docs and different things like that, you want to make sure you align yourself with a good NAICS code. Another myth I want to say, in 2025, stop using consulting.
Say it again.
In 2025, stop using consulting for your business. The reason why, and I'm here to give you updated game, not regurgitated game, updated game, right? And I'm in the trenches. Like I said, I'm coaching now, but I'm still in the trenches running my company, right? Mm. There has been more defaults from the NAICS code consulting than any other industry outside of trucking and real estate in 2025. Mm. 2025.
Didn't notice.
And 2020 and 2021, when everybody was doing consulting was hitting green. And you still can fly through, right? But because there's so many people that have secured funding and defaulted in that same industry, it becomes high risk. Mm. So understand, as data points change, banks change.
Yeah.
They look at this stuff too. They look at their files and say, okay, we lend out X amount of money and this percentage had these business categories. Mm. We deem them high risk because it seems like it's a trend of people opening up accounts as consulting, getting 50, 70, 100K, and then defaulting, right? So in 2025, let's stop using consulting as much, because you can look on NAICS.com. It's becoming high risk. And actually, if you look, it actually is the biggest box as far as like how many businesses are in that box, you know, when it comes to consulting. So let's stop doing that. You can move more to education, training, mm-hmm. different things like that. Those are more low risk. And I'll probably be the first to say that. Hopefully in 2026, we won't burn that out.
Yo, okay. Okay. All right. Let's, because we haven't even gotten halfway through, and it's like my head is spinning. My head.
That's what I'm here for, man.
Okay. NAICS codes, bank rating.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who aren't familiar, talk a little bit about what that is and how that plays a role in their ability to go on and get access to capital.
100%. So a bank rating is basically an internal rating from a institution, a financial institution, to categorize basically how much money you have with them, right?
Yeah.
That rating can help you to get you approved. To give you an example, for Navy Fed, a lot of people can get approved with a 660 credit score, right?
Mm.
If they have a decent amount of a good internal rating with Navy Federal, and one of those that consists of it is a bank rating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But going back to bank ratings, I usually say to have at least $5,000 inside of an account to have a decent category when it comes to bank rating.
Okay.
But it goes back to CRD. Like I said, credit, relationships, deposits.
Yep.
If you hit all boxes, you're probably going to have a higher chance of having approval in the limit that you're looking for.
Mm, okay. So with all this context now, one of the more popular topics we hear discussed in the funding space, funding sequences, mm-hmm. right? Having the proper funding sequence necessary so we can get the most amount of funding possible. For those who don't know, could you explain what a funding sequence is, how it works, and even give a funding sequence that individuals could use on the business credit side to maximize how much capital they get access to?
100%. So funding sequences is basically mapping out what banks you're going to apply to, what credit bureau they pull from, and you want to run that in a sequence to approve your approval odds, right? Essentially, mm-hmm. credit stacking is what they call it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And give you guys an example, PNC, they pull Experian. Truist, they pull Equifax. When it comes to TransUnion, BMO, right?
Mm.
Essentially, that's one hard inquiry, but you left from 15K from each bank.
Yeah.
That's very low level applying online. When it gets to that high level funding sauce, mm-hmm. which like I said, I'm here for, I'm giving you the game.
Let's do it.
We don't apply online.
Mm.
We go through our high level reps to get our limits. So mm-hmm. that's the low level, hey, I'm tired, let me get this quick 10, that quick 15. But if you want to get 50, 60, 70, 80, even 100K from some lenders that are giving that, you want to actually go through a rep.
Mm, now, how do we, because this is good, because I've heard a lot of the rumblings now in the space is, if you don't have a relationship manager at some Brinks, like, you're leaving a ridiculous amount of money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are listening, what does that process even look like of us finding relationship managers there? Because I've heard that there are, like, tiers of different relationship managers at these banks, to where it's like, if you're talking to the wrong person at the wrong bank versus somebody that may be like a level higher than them, it's almost the same as applying online. So how do we actually get connections with these individuals that can help us get the funding?
100%. So look for relationship managers. Relationship mm-hmm. managers, they're usually the higher reps. And just ask them typically what type of business owners do they typically deal with. They'll tell you, hey, I usually deal with businesses ranging from $2 million and up. Those are the big bank business bankers that can push your applications through to get you what you're looking for. When you're going through reps, the process is totally different. You're not applying online. Mm-hmm. You're not just praying and hoping and waiting for feedback. When you talk to that banker, they're actually sending you a DocuSign. You complete that DocuSign. It's sent directly to underwriting, and that banker can actually talk directly to underwriting to push your application through. They want to know what you need the funds for. You let them know, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. and that can be the difference in you getting a $15K on an app online and a $75K through a direct banker.
Do you remember the myth or the rumor when we came into the funding space where, like, if you want to get, like, higher approvals, you got to wait till it's like 3:32 in the morning, open like 8 laptops and then apply then? So that is not true. That doesn't work anymore.
No, that's called the shotgun method. So people probably still see it on TikTok. Open up 8 tabs, fill out the applications to the end, and then press submit, 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 submit. That's not the way to do it.
Okay, gotcha. So for somebody who's new to the funding space, right? Another thing, in listening to you, there's different types of credit products. Mm-hmm. There's credit cards, there's lines of credit, and then there are, of course, installment lines of credit. So if I'm new to the space, how do I know what types of credit products I should be applying for? If I'm a real estate investor or an aspiring investor, do I lean more towards a line of credit versus a business credit card, mm-hmm. right? Or vice versa? What does that process look like for me to know the best funding product that I should be going for?
100%. And that's what we do a lot of just at my funding company, Waiters Capital. We educate our clients on what's the best thing from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first, you got to ask yourself this. What's my credit score? How old is my business?
Mm-hmm.
And do I have any revenue, right? If you don't have any revenue, let's say you're a startup, you got a good credit score, but you don't have any revenue, you're going to be limited to more so credit cards and some no-doc business lines of credit, mm-hmm. right? That will usually be the best route when it comes to starting the business, even if you're a real estate investor, because there's liquidation partners where we can liquidate that money off of, if that makes sense, right?
Right.
But if you're starting off and you want to have a high success rate and you don't have any revenue that you can show, I would stick to business credit cards, especially 0%. Why? Because it's essentially like an interest-free loan. To give you an example, one of my first real estate properties, when I first got into the game in 2021, right, going crazy with credit, I got a $50K business credit card from Chase. I liquidated $25,000 off of that credit card, went in with a hard money lender, and I actually got my first investment property that way. It took us about 8-9 months to renovate, but while it was being renovated, I was only paying $323 a month on that credit card.
Nothing, pennies.
Right? So once that property was renovated, we cashed out, refinanced that property. I was able to pay the credit card back, plus I made $17,000. And anybody that's in real estate, you understand when you get money out of a loan or refinance, you don't even pay taxes on that money. So I used a little bit of that money to put back into the property to furnish it, and now it's an Airbnb in Atlanta.
Making some cash money.
You know what I'm saying? So you can get saucy with a business credit card even if you're in real estate. You just had to be a little bit more creative. The answer is not more so if I'm in real estate, should I get a business line of credit or a loan? It's more so, what can you provide if they ask you, if they call your bluff and ask you for tax returns? Because if I say, hey, if you're a real estate agent or you're a real estate investor, get a business line of credit. When you go to apply for that business line of credit, if you don't have any revenue, you're going to get declined. You know what I'm saying? So it's more so being strategic on knowing where you're at in your business and what products can you actually fly through with.
Right.
But essentially, startups, I would say 0% interest business credit cards. It allows you to build your business and not get hit with high interest. You can actually make money off of their money. If you're in real estate and you want to go the easy way, a business line of credit is usually good. Or even what we do at Waiters Capital, collateralized lending. If you have other properties, let's say you got an investment property or a family that was passed down to you from a family member, we can actually use that as collateral to get you the funding you need for whatever real estate deal you do as well.
Diving a bit more into, I guess if you would call it myths, when you were coming into the space and I was coming into space, another thing I'm sure you probably heard a lot, and I still hear people talk about it to this day, this thing of building business credit to get business credit.
Mm-hmm.
So coming in, it was, you got to get an account with Quill, Granger, and Uline. You got to spend all this money on all these things that you don't need, mm-hmm. build up your Paydex score. And then once you get your Paydex score to a certain point, then you can go about getting access to funding without having to use your personal credit report.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the case going into 2025? Do we need to build business credit if we want to be able to get access to funding without using our personal credit report?
Mm-hmm. Yes and no.
Okay.
For the average entrepreneur, you're wasting your time. But if you want to build for the future, it can be essential, but you have to understand that's not going to be an immediate return on your investment if you were to do that, right? Business credit does play a part when you're going through traditional banks and looking for business term loans or business lines of credit. You know, when they see that you have a business credit profile built up, that can help. But if you're just trying to get started in the game, it's not really ideal. Where it kind of can help at, kind of, is, like I said, just when you're trying to build the business out.
Mm-hmm.
But usually what people referring to, what I see online, is kind of BS, man. That no PG stuff, you got to be making, it's really called corporate credit, and okay. you got to be making at least $3 million or more a year to qualify for that. So people that tell you, oh, I can get you no PG funding, just be careful, mm-hmm. right? No PG funding is a thing, but your business needs to be making $3 million or more in annual revenue to qualify. And most people may ask, why is that? A bank can understands at that point the business stands on its own. If you're making $3 million or more in revenue, you're not even really worried about credit. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing that people don't understand. That no PG stuff, just be careful with it.
So what's interesting about you is, like, you really do funding. Like, you're not a face and then there's someone behind the scene. Like, no, you're really in the trenches helping people get funded, not only with their personal credit, but also, like we talked about here, without their personal credit. And you mentioned it before, alternative lending,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting because I have people come on from time to time, but we mainly focus on like PG-based funding.
Mm-hmm.
You help people get funding without having to use their personal credit report.
100%.
Talk a little bit about how alternative lending works and some of the different routes we can go in there if we want to be able to go out and get access to capital without having to use our personal credit at all, 100%. The right way.
Can I get out some more sauce?
Let's do
can
it.
I break it down?
Let's do it. Let's go.
All right, cool. So just like everybody else, I started off in the credit card stacking, 0% funding, which is very helpful. You can make a ton of money off of that, right?
Yeah.
With that model, I'm just going to explain it for everybody. Basically, you can help entrepreneurs get access to up to $150,000 in 0% interest funding. It's usually via business credit cards, and you earn a 10% commission off of that. So if you get somebody $100,000, you can earn $10,000 in commission, right? So it makes it to where you can only work with one or two people and have a six-figure business technically, right?
Mm.
But most of these companies online that are marketing, they can't fulfill when they have a business owner that has a laundromat that may have a 550 credit score, but is bringing in $50,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with those people? They still need funding as well.
Yeah.
And they've been in the game. They probably mess up their credit, don't understand the value of credit. And that's where alternative lending comes in, right?
Yeah.
So with alternative lending, the beauty with alternative lending, you don't actually have to charge the client anything. With the credit card stacking, we're charging that client once they get the funding 10%.
Mm.
So if you get somebody $100,000, they're technically keeping $90,000, paying you $10,000. But with alternative lending, you don't have to charge the client anything if you don't want to, and you can make up to 15% on the back end from the lender.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right? And let me tell you how this saucy. Let me get saucy, right? So I'm going to just keep it around. I'm in the funding space.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people that I communicate with that's not in my academy. They don't do the things the way I do it. They may say, yo, Stead, how you getting people to pay you? I got people running off on me. I'll get somebody $100,000 in funding, send them that 10K invoice, and they go ghost. With alternative lending, you don't even need their information. You don't even need them to pay you because the lender's going to pay you directly.
Mm.
So that eliminates all of the having to make sure you have all their docs, making sure they're not ghosting you, all those different things, because the lender will pay you on the back end. And it's a wire. It's literally a wire about 3 to 5 business days after the deal is funded.
38%. That's the amount of entrepreneurs that are struggling to get their business funded because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be. Now, you can look into alternatives like corporate credit cards and vendor accounts, but the truth is the easiest way to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding is to have good personal credit. As an entrepreneur,
Sure, the stress of trying to build a successful business is already enough as is. So why work harder than you need to when you can simplify the funding process by getting your credit restored? My company, Takeoff Financial, has served hundreds of entrepreneurs just like you by helping them avoid the pain of getting denied for business funding by restoring their personal credit, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and let's put you in position to get you funding that your business needs.
So with alternative lenders, I don't have to worry about John Smith. Like, if I got John 100K, John ain't paying me. Bank A or lender A or whoever it may be is going to go ahead and send. And the percentage on that is what, like 10% standard, or is it a little bit less or a little higher?
So 10% is standard, but it can go up to 15%.
Okay.
Right? It can go up to 15%. The interest rate can sometimes raise when it goes up to 15%.
Okay.
But it can go from 10 to 15, but 10 is usually standard.
Okay.
And if you want to, you want to get saucy, you can charge a documentation processing fee on the front end, maybe a $500, whatever the case may be, and get your 15 to 10% on the back end directly from the lender 3 to 5 business days later.
So let's say, because this is where it's really about to get fun. Let's say I take all this information you give me, right? I go out and I get myself a nice little 100K, 150K, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But now I want to be able to start making money from this knowledge of funding that I have. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to go out and start my own. I want to have my own Waiters Capital, right? I want to start my own funding company. If I'm interested in going that route now, I funded myself. I want to help other people get funded so I could start making multiple six figures in the space. What was the first step that I would need to take in order for me to go ahead and do that?
Invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. So find somebody that's actually in the space that's not just saying, hey, I got a funding company, I make X amount, or hey, get funded, whatever the case may be. Do your research. Like me, I'm right here. I'm telling you, my company is Waiters Capital. You can call our business number. You can check out our website. You can check out our social media platforms. A lot of people say, hey, I run a funding company. They don't even say what their company name is. They don't show any testimonials. So you want to invest in yourself and find somebody that's actually in the industry, actually doing what they say they do, that can actually help you to get you the results that you're looking for. The reason why you're taking the elevator instead of the stairs. You could do it yourself, right? But it's a lot of hiccups. It's a lot of things. And when it comes to alternative lending, it's honestly a good boys club. That's why a lot of people never heard of it before, because they don't just rock with everybody, right? Mm-hmm. It's private equity firms that were able to leverage their business products to actually make money and commission off of. Mm-hmm. So I would say find somebody first that's actually in the space that you know, like, and trust, and invest in yourself and learn from them the right way to do things. From there, honestly, you just need a laptop and a phone.
That's
it. Laptop and a phone.
Laptop and phone.
Yeah.
I don't need office space. I don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest in a brick and mortar. I could do it from anywhere in the world.
No. Anywhere, bro. I was literally in my office as an engineer, praying to God. Office door closed. Boom. Book bag. Boom. Pulling out my personal laptop. Hello? Yeah, I'm about to get on the call. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sending emails, closing deals, going in my company truck, doing the same thing. I was hustling. That's how I got to the point where I can do this full time.
Mm.
All you need to get started, like I said, is the right knowledge, a cell phone, and a laptop. Easy.
One of the biggest complaints that I normally hear from people, though, is like, all right, how do I find my first 5 clients? How do I find customers? How do I even market a funding business? Where do I go? Because most people think marketing is this super duper complex thing to where it's like it beats them over the head. So if I get the information, I'm able to start the funding company. What do I need to do to find my first couple of clients?
Hey. That's where I come in, man. That's where I come in. Let me ask you before I get this game.
Let's do it.
Has anybody ever came on and gave some real funding marketing tips that you can think of right off the bat?
Marketing-wise, the closest thing, if I was to give a shout-out, Darius did a solid one when he came on here. Yeah, yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Shout-out to my guy, Darius. That's my guy, right? But I'm about to blow your mind, right?
Let's do it.
I'm going to give you a couple. So the first route, which is the route that's usually talked about by everybody, we call it something special. We call it a people of influence.
Okay.
People of influence are affiliates that can send you referrals consistently because they had an influence too, right? To give you an example, a real estate agent that deals with real estate investors, they're looking for capital. She can send you people, right? CPAs, tax professionals, these people look at these business owners' books. They know when they need money, when they're having leakages in their business. They can send you direct business. Another thing that people don't think about, business coaches. Business coaches, if you see a real estate coach that's in real estate, right? They coach real estate and they have a mentee that signs up with them to learn real estate. They probably don't have the funds to invest in real estate themselves. If you can connect with that coach and get it to where he's exclusively sending you clients, you can have a good lead flow. And that's how I started off, working with just affiliates, having conversation with people, DMing people, calling people and say, hey, let's have a conversation. Here's where our affiliate referral program is. This is our split and let's go with it. So that's the first way you can get active. without even posting every day is by contacting and networking with people of influence and get it to where they can send you consistent clientele. That's the one that everybody always talks about. Next one, which is probably unheard of, Google Ads.
Okay.
Google Ads. In my community, in my academy, I go over the four pillars of marketing. Mm. Google Ads, Ads Mastery is usually the last one. I like usually people to talk to their organic, you know, people before going to ads. But Google Ads is one of the most slept on ways to attract clients when it comes to funding. Mm. Let me ask you this. When you have a problem, what do you do?
Google it. Or I go to YouTube, one of those two. Yeah.
Do you Instagram it, Facebook it?
Nope.
So why the hell everybody on Meta running ads for funding?
Yeah.
Right? It works. Yeah. It works. It 100% works. But we're not going to the direct source of people that have intent. You got to understand when it comes to ads, when you're running an ad on Meta and Instagram, you're invading somebody's like space. Mm-hmm. Like you're popping up on their screen. Hey, I can get you funding. They may have looked at it or clicked on a link and now Meta thinks, oh, they're interested in it, but you're just literally popping up on your screen, right? Yeah. But on Google, when people have a problem, they're searching it. Business loans near me, business loans Las Vegas, SBA Las Vegas. Who's popping up? Waiters Capital. Mm-hmm. That's where the business comes in. And these people have intent. They are serious. They want this. So now closing is not really a thing because they need the funds. Yeah. It's more so qualifying and getting them something that makes sense for their business.
Yeah.
Right? So Google Ads is something that I see nobody talk about. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy how people sleep on that product when Google is one of the most powerful search engines in the world. Mm-hmm. So why aren't we using them, right? Right now, we're getting anywhere between 5 to 15 ROAS when it comes to our Google Ads.
For those who don't know, ROAS, return on ad spend.
Exactly, yeah, right? Yeah. So that's one thing that people are not talking about. And then this next one's going to be crazy. So I'm going to give you two more.
Let's do
just
it.
Just look,
let's
exclusively for your show. I never talked
let's
about
go.
It, right?
Let's do it.
My mentees might hate me, right? So we have an Eventbrite play. An Eventbrite play. If you're somebody that doesn't like posting and you don't want to build out your Instagram, because most of these gurus, all they're going to tell you is keep posting. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no clients yet. Keep posting. I ain't got no clients yet. We actually show our mentees how to market digitally, online, and in person, right? The Eventbrite play, usually it's more effective when you live in a city. So New York, Atlanta, Las Vegas, like an actual city, right?
Right.
You can search and see what business events are going on, you know, this weekend, next month, whatever it may be, and directly contact the host of that event. Let them know what you do. Ask them, can you speak, right? You want to make sure it's a business networking, some type of business event, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you want to fund restaurants, if there's a restaurant business, I don't know, meetup, you want to talk to that host directly and say, hey, look, my name is Stedman, owner of Waiters Capital. I would love to come talk to your team. You know what I'm saying? I have a great proposition for you guys that may help you financially and the people at your event, mm-hmm. right? Have a conversation with them. Hey, I provide funding for restaurants in the area. I would love to show you what we can do. And anybody that's interested in our funding services will give you a 2-3% whatever commission off of that. Have a conversation with people. And now you put yourself on a stage, on a platform where you can get clients without even having to pay for it.
Yeah.
You're getting commission-based clients. Mm. Basically, you don't have to pay somebody until you fulfill and you get paid. Mm. That's the best type of marketing.
Come on now.
Right? Yes. Ain't nobody doing that. Everybody tell you to post online, but nobody talking to the people. And they don't understand online is great. And I love online. I do it a lot as well. But one, a lot of online people is weird. You're filtering through a lot. I'm just being honest. I'm not serious.
Right.
Right? I run both Meta ads and Google ads.
Yeah.
And I 100% prefer Google ads over Meta ads. 100%. People online are weird. Two, they're not serious. Mm. They're just nosy. They just want to start conversation, whatever the case may be. And everybody's scared of being scammed online. Mm. But when you can go in person, show that you're a real person, showing that you actually do what you do and have a conversation with somebody, show them the value that you bring, it's an easier sell.
Yep.
Now they want to work with you. And once you help them, they're going to tell a friend that knows a friend that knows a friend. Business owners tend to hang with business owners. So if you help one, you get all of them. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see that play a lot. Nobody ain't talk about that play, right?
I'll give you that.
I'm going to give you one more.
Here we go.
I'm going to give you one more.
Here we go.
Let's say you in, what's the country place in NYC that nobody lives
country,
at?
That no one lives at? Staten Island.
Staten
Island.
No. That's close to the city, bro.
But like nobody. If you want to go like Long Island or something like that, but like country, this is a city, so there's not really anywhere to
start. Let me go Georgia with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back. I'll go to my school hometown, Statesboro, Georgia. Have you ever heard of it?
Never.
Probably would never hear of it, right? Okay. But we're going to use that, right?
Yes, sir.
So if I'm a funding company or somebody that's doing funding in Statesboro, Georgia, I don't see many Eventbrite business networking events. I don't know many business owners that may need funding. I'm shy. I don't want to talk to anybody in person. Mm-hmm. This is definitely the route that you can go. So when it comes to alternative lending, a lot of these lenders tend to put, depending on the amount, right, how much a person has got, they will put a UCC UCC lien on your business. Are you familiar with what a UCC lien is?
I've heard of it, but explain it because I've heard different variations of what exactly is that?
So a UCC lien stands for Uniform Commercial Code, right? Okay. And it's a lien on your business, basically securing, using your business as collateral. So if you were to default or file bankruptcy, that lender will collect first, right? Essentially, like if you finance a car, you know how they say put us as first lien holder? Usually these private lenders, they do that once you reach a certain threshold. So if you get somebody 100K in funding, they're probably going to do a UCC lien just to make sure they get paid, right? But what people don't understand is that these UCC liens, they're public information. So you can literally search and see everybody that has a UCC lien on their business, and you can actually use that as a lead list to contact them and see if they're interested in more funding, right? And that's where all the laptop and the phone comes into play. So now you eliminate having to post online, you eliminate having to talk to people, and now you're literally talking to people that already have gotten funding before, that understand the value of money, and you're simply asking them, hey, this is Stephen from Waiters Capital. I see that you recently got some funding, just wanted to see if you're in the market for some more. Boom. And you don't charge them anything. If they ask you how much to charge, sir, we get paid directly from our lenders in volume. We're not charging you anything. We just want to help you succeed and grow your business.
That's the first time. That's the first time I've ever heard that broken down here on this platform.
Exactly. Another thing I want to add to that.
More?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, this is more like safety, right?
Okay.
So if you want to get even more saucy and be safer, you can take that leads list. You can then put that into what's called a DNC scrubber. You can search it online. There's multiple different websites.
Say that again.
A DNC scrubber.
Okay.
A DNC scrubber is a do not call, right? Scrubber. You can take that leads list. You can get a CSV file, put that into the DNC scrubber. Now it eliminates everybody that's on the do not call list. So everybody you call from now on, you know they're valid. They're hitting every time.
Is the camera on me?
Right. And it gets better too. So we talked about revenue-based lending.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is the best podcast.
Let's do it. Go ahead.
So, like I said, everybody doing 0% interest funding, right?
Yeah.
I went over revenue-based lending. The qualifications for that, you just need at minimum 500 credit score and make $10,000 or more in your business going through a business account, right? But nobody's talking about SBAs. Nobody's talking about equipment financing. Nobody's talking about true business lines of credit. Nobody's talking about that stuff. They're talking about getting somebody credit cards. But what do you say to the business owner that has a laundromat, that has an event space, that's been in business for 3 years, that got tax returns, that got docs, and they're like, I don't want no credit card? What you going to do? When somebody say they need $600,000 in funding, how many credit cards you going to get to add up with $600,000?
This is facts.
You know what I'm saying? This now you facts. Stuck. You don't know what to do. And that's why funding companies broker those deals to us, because we know how to fulfill, right? When it comes to SBA, it's an SBA Express. They call it the SBA Express. We call it the SBA Streamline, right? You can get up to $150,000 in 10 to 15 business days if you have 2 years personal business tax returns and 6 months of business bank statements. Easy work. You don't have to charge the client. You're literally going to get paid points. In the real funding space, they don't even say percentage. They say points.
That's
right?
True.
It's the same
Never
exact
true.
Thing, but it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're getting paid points. If you get somebody that's, you know, that has a full doc, everything. Let's say they make $3 million in annual revenue in the past 2 years. You can go 7A, get them $300,000, $400,000 in funding and get points off of that. You don't even have to charge them. If you want to charge them, it's a processing fee. You know what I'm saying? So you get saucy. What do you do to the business owner that has a restaurant that don't want a down credit card that says, hey, look, I want you to figure out a way for me to get this fryer so that I can make more fries for my burger shop. That's where equipment financing comes in. You get an invoice for whatever the product is. They look at their revenue to see what they're bringing in, and you can go ahead and close a deal like that and get paid up to 15% commission off of that as well. But nobody talking about that. Nobody talking about that, right? So it's so many other ways to fulfill when it comes to funding. We just got to get out of our circle as in the Black credit or funding community, and understand there's so many ways to skin a cat. Mm-hmm. And the better, the more options you have for your clients, the more money you will make. Because if you're only looking for somebody that has a 700 credit score, you're throwing a lot of business away.
Yeah.
You're throwing a lot of business away, because being in the credit space, I don't know about you, but it seems like I know more people with bad credit than good credit.
Facts. Facts.
You know?
Can you put the camera on me, please? Just put it on me. We're doing a part two. We gotta do a part two, because now I got questions that need answers. Instead, we don't have the time. But Lord have mercy, you came on here, you did something beautiful, my brother. I appreciate you. This was definitely one of them ones. This was definitely one of them ones, my brother. I know we have to get you out of here.
Yeah.
Before we get you out of here, I know that I would be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to let the people who are watching know where they can get tapped in and wrapped in with you. Let the people know what you have going on. Your camera right here.
100%. So if you guys love what I did today, what I talked about today, you like that guy knows something, trust me, I got even more. My students can tell you. I'm hosting a free funding workshop showing you the exact blueprint of what I talked about, how I did it, and how you can do it too. We're going over credit card stacking, alternative lending, SBA, all that good stuff. Sign up and register. It's completely free at fundtosuccess.com/Marvin.
There you go.
Because you're watching my guys' podcast, I'm going to give you guys a free credit union ebook where I break down all the credit unions that me and my team use today, and you get that completely free, but you got to go through his link, man.
There you go. Well said, my brother. I appreciate you for coming on. And I appreciate each and every single one of you guys for watching. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to go ahead, hit the like button, show this episode some love. But most importantly, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back, watch this episode again. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Marvin Francois. That's my guy, Stead Waiters. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you, and God bless. We're out.
Yes, peace. Sir. Peace.